Hello and welcome to the Diva with Grace podcast. I am Diva by name, not by reputation.
And I'm Grace. It's a popular him and I'm a popular her.
Yeah, you are.
Yes. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hi.
How are you?
Honestly, I'm doing really, really well.
Oh, my God. It's been... I love to hear that. I love to hear that.
A journey. But
because it's been a week.
It's been a week. But one thing, I've been listening to a lot of Abraham Hicks. I think that's what...
Oh, is that helping?
A lot. Just focus on the good. I know it sounds so simplistic, right?
Right.
Just focus on the good. Okay. But yeah. I really have been doing that purposefully, and it's just game changer.
Yeah.
Game changer. How about
game
you,
changer.
My friend? How you doing?
I'm good. I had a lot of mercury-infused incidents this week.
Mercury-infused. I love that.
Yeah. It was, my week was very much infused with Mercury retrograde, which is interesting because, you know, in the episode with Jay, we talked about how, like, really it's just a time for you to, like, you know, re-look at a bunch of things and, you know, like... review and like whatever. And I was like, okay, yes, I'm ready for this. And then all of the technology things happened and like all of the miscommunications happened. And I was like, okay, but this is still real too. but it was good.
Yeah.
It was all like all great communication, like lessons for me. And yeah, I just, you know, there's always something to be learned. I have been in a very like retrospective.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been good. And not even like in like a sad way, just in a like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like things are moving along. Like things
That's
are,
good.
You know, it's been a nice time for me to be like, okay, maybe now's a time to pause and be like, and just be with, because also we had the Taurus full moon and that was a very like slow moving energy too, where I felt like I had to slow down and reflect on thing like everything I already have, you know, like being like you said, like Abraham Hicks, being grateful for what you have
what you have in the moment.
And that just brings more abundance.
Because she made a point that I realized I was doing, and I'm sure a lot of people do, is when you're not where you want to be, you feel like if you accept where you are fully, you're telling the universe, okay,
that
I'm good with
okay.
this.
Exactly.
But it's actually the opposite. You'll actually start manifesting more and more things will come to you once you accept it. It's a weird dichotomy and it's really challenging for people to grasp that.
Well, because it is like a fine line between being in full acceptance mode and surrendering and like not giving up.
Yeah.
I think
it's
people
a lot.
Feel I know it's really a lot.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking that would be a great topic for us to talk about. Like how do people I know. But there's always things to talk
ideas,
about.
Right?
But it's hard to balance.
Yeah. How do you do it?
Oh my God. I like am still learning.
Yeah.
Definitely still learning. I mean there are certain things that I've just had practice doing like I used to. This is a weird segue.
Yeah.
But like with my body, like I used to have a hard time loving and accepting my body. And I thought that if I loved and accepted it for the way it was in the moment, then it wouldn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And I so desperately wanted it to change. And I quite honestly don't even know if it has changed. I've gotten out of habits that I used to do before with, you know, like weighing myself too frequently or like going to the gym way too much and like really micromanaging my food. But I noticed that I was kind of just staying the same. And by the same, I mean miserable while I was doing that.
Yeah.
So, I guess I think just like the feeling of surrender, just like really living in that feeling that like very humbling and accepting and loving.
And it's so liberating. I feel so liberated and free. I had something come up, just a financial thing that was unexpected. And I'm like, ooh,
yeah,
what are we going to do? And then I just thought, I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And I really went to bed like, there's going to be a money miracle. I'm like, I'm just not stressing over it.
Oh my God,
and the
yes.
next morning, something came to me.
That's
and I got
amazing.
A job. You know what I mean? It's like, that's how life is supposed to.
Totally.
She was
and
just,
you just have to, yeah, you just have to believe.
Yeah, because we've done all this work as humans, like the age we are, it's like we have 30 plus years of living that I've accrued some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just the ability to like not try so hard. So
right.
I'm
and trust that the universe
exactly.
has your back.
It's like you've
like
done the work.
It's had your back before.
Exactly.
And it'll have your back again.
Yeah. And if you did, I've done 34 years of work, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
As of living. So it's like now it's just trusting. And I think that's
totally
the hard part.
Trusting
it fully.
And believing.
And believing. And
believing
that's what I've been
that,
doing.
Yeah. And just like really believing it into existence, like we talk about on the show all the time, mm-hmm. like act as if and it shall be.
Exactly.
And that is what it is. Sometimes you got to be, you know, a little more specific. I did manifest. I have been manifesting all over the place.
Nice.
Which I feel like is a result of this show because we talk about manifesting all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's just inherently manifesting more things.
Yeah.
I manifested a modeling job that it was like, so I didn't even like submit myself for it or audition for it or like anything, but I was just like, I really need, you know, some other form of income. Like, what am I going to do? And the next day it was like, hey, like, are you free for this modeling job? And I was like kind of nervous, and it was a day rate for only an hour of work.
Stop.
And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
This is amazing.
And when I got there, it ended up not even being an hour. I was only there for like 10 minutes.
Shut up.
It took me longer to get there in traffic.
That sounds about right.
And
usually,
yeah. And to get home. I was like, they were basically paying me for my drive.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
And thank you. And it was like, girl, it was for a weighted blanket. Do you know how long that's been in my Amazon cart?
Yes. Did they let you keep it?
No, they didn't let me keep it. I mean, it's
that
fine.
That would have been
one.
Like the cherry on top of the sundae. But still, that's an amazing story.
But I was like, how did you guys know? I was like, does it like say somewhere in my online profile that I have anxiety that, and you knew that I'd be perfect for this? Oh my God. But that's but amazing. I was like, I've joked around about being like, oh, I really just want a job where I can hang out my pajamas and sleep. Mm-hmm. Literally, that was the job. And I was like, okay, I need to work on this because I'd like to manifest this every week. Please.
Exactly.
And then this week, I manifested another gig with this same like company.
Really?
Yes.
That's
a different like product.
Right.
But it was the same.
Do you get to be in PJs again?
Not PJs, but they didn't even take a picture of my face. It was literally just like the product and my hand, and like, and they were like, okay, thanks, bye. I was
goals.
Like,
you're living the dream, my friend.
Girl,
That's amazing. Just
saying that, like, when you trust the universe,
yeah,
it happens.
I just started almost talking to, I guess I'm talking to myself, talking to the universe, kind of like when I get in certain situations and something that's sticky, like financially, let's say mostly, those are like the sticky situations. I just go, LOL, this is going to be fun for you to figure out. I'm like, I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, good luck.
Sounds like a personal problem, universe.
I just go, I shrug my shoulders like, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But things unfold,
things
which is amazing.
Always work out.
Yeah.
Like I just launched this these new necklaces for High Maintenance Hippie, casual plug.
So cash.
And the first night that I launched one of the necklaces, I was so praying. Like, I was like, I want to wake up to 10 orders. That's what I wanted. And I was like trying to manifest that. And when I woke up, I did not wake up to 10 orders, but I did wake up to the equivalent amount that I would have made from 10 orders in the form of a check from a company who hadn't paid me yet.
You guys, we don't make this stuff up.
We don't
seriously.
Make it up. So it'll come in some form.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes. Oh my God. So we wanted to interview each other.
Yeah. Segue.
I know. We'll probably still be talking about things that have happened.
That's what we're doing.
In the past
we just
weeks.
Thought you guys have been listening to us for these weeks. And I know you kind of know us, but it's kind of like, but do you really know
us? I know. Sometimes they think they know us
better
than we have really explained.
Probably.
Yeah.
But we thought it'd just be fun just to chit chat and do a getting to know us segment.
Yeah, a little getting to know us fun facts.
So let's do it.
Devo with Grace.
Devo with Grace. Let's do it the way we start with all our guests. So, Grace, tell me about your spiritual journey.
Oh my God.
What has led you here?
Oh my God. I'm on the spot.
You're on the spot.
Oh my God.
Oh, and Grace, she, not only is she my podcast host, she's an actress, she's a jewelry designer. What am I missing?
A stylist,
how we met.
Model when you let me hang out in my PJs and eat marijuana gummies. Only in those circumstances will I be a model. I'm just kidding. Pay me.
That's amazing. So, yes, this is Grace.
Yeah, so this is me. My spiritual journey. Oh, my God. Well, I've always been
Well, I've always been.
I've never really thought about it. And it's funny because we ask people this every time.
Yeah, right.
But I haven't thought about it really in like a linear way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh,
like, I don't know,
did
I'm
this
here.
Really start? I know, right? Like, I must be on a spiritual journey because I'm
I mean, we all
here.
Are, right? But yeah.
But when I really started thinking about like spirits and mm-hmm. like, you know, the soul and everything, I think I pretty much popped out of the womb having depression and anxiety.
No.
Like, I don't think it was anyone's fault or like, you know, nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, things have happened in my life that have caused trauma. But like, who hasn't had that? Like, literally, we've all had trauma, whether we realize it or not. So early on, well, I was raised Jewish, which I've talked about mm-hmm. on this show. And my family's more like culturally Jewish rather than like religious. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're like mean to each other and force food down each other's throat. that's a small joke.
I laughed.
So I was raised Jewish. But my dad is Catholic. Mm-hmm. And when my parents were together, we were living in Miami. I went to a Jewish preschool and I went to Catholic church on Sundays with my dad because my mom and dad wanted to make sure I could choose exactly what mm-hmm. I wanted to be. But really all that showed me was that all religions are the same.
Yeah.
They all just have like different fun activities that you can do. Like I loved church because I actually really hated church. I would like kick and scream going to church. But once I was there, I loved the smell of the sage mm-hmm. and I loved the ritual of the holy water.
Yeah.
And like, I loved the long white robes. I was like, oh my God, this is so chic. Yeah. Like we went to such a chic, like Catholic church. And I just assumed that like, that is what Catholicism was.
I mean, it pretty much is
very bougie.
It's a mysticism.
Chic,
yeah.
Situation.
Have you seen the Pope? I mean, come on. So bougie.
So, and the jewelry, I love a religious jewelry moment.
Same.
That's really like how, what was like, really, it didn't inspire High Maintenance Hippie, but I've sort of like implemented it mm-hmm. into my jewelry. Because it's such a big part of my life. So I was raised in those environments. And then when I started getting older, I started developing my own relationship with my higher power. I would pray day and night to have him send me to Los Angeles, California. Like, I was like, I just want to get out of Connecticut. Oh, yeah. Should I talk about that? I was born in Germany. My dad's German. I have dual citizenship, but
nice.
We moved to the States when I was like a baby. So I don't have an accent or anything. And then we moved to, then my parents got divorced when I was 4 and we moved to Connecticut to be closer to my grandma. And I lived there for a long time. And then starting in like middle school, my depression got really bad. And I started having a lot of body dysmorphia, body issues. I started developing I call it an eating disorder, but like I feel like that sounds really intense. I didn't have a healthy relationship with food or my body. And that really required me to look at this relationship I had with my higher power. And, you know, I had a lot of like resentment and anger. I went to I always felt very like left out. I never felt like I belonged. I grew up in a single parent household when that wasn't a thing. Now it's a thing.
Yeah.
Like I was always the kid who the parents were like, whenever the parents would get divorced, they would be like, go talk to Grace. She knows what it's like.
Oh my God.
And that's kind of like shitty, you know?
That's,
it's kind of
yeah,
like, I don't want to be like the kid with, you know, the original broken home. Like, I don't want to be that. But that's sort of when I realized like, oh, like I have, you know, I have this ability to help and heal people even without being like going to school to be a doctor mm-hmm. or like whatever. I was like, I have this, you know, innate desire and ability to help people through talking to them about themselves and their experience.
Yeah.
Which I've always loved doing, hence this podcast.
Hello.
I'm like, speed this up a little bit.
No.
So then high school, I started rebelling. I started dating older boys. I started doing drugs. I started drinking. And it was like all in good fun. I really, it wasn't like a...
Like self-destructive kind
no,
of
No, it was not way. At all self-destructive. Mm. It was...
More experimental then.
More experimental, just okay. like a teenager, yeah. you know? And like I was alone a lot. I was an only child. Mm-hmm. My mom worked a lot because she was a single parent. And, you know, she had to take care of me and she wanted to provide me with the best life she could, which she absolutely did.
Yeah.
I was just alone a lot. So I, you know, I was trying to preoccupy myself with yeah. things to do. And around the time of 16, I won't go into too much detail, started getting into some trouble. And mom thought it was best that I go live with my aunt and uncle in Arizona. So I went to go live with them, and that's when my drinking and using started getting destructive because I felt like I wasn't wanted by my dad. I wasn't wanted by my mom. Like nobody, I didn't feel like anybody wanted me. That was also the time I was going through my first really big breakup. It was kind of just a lot of like abandonment,
yeah,
just like thrown at me all at once. And once again, I turned to my spirituality without even realizing that's really
amazing,
what it
though,
was.
That you could do that.
I just
at that age, you
yeah.
know?
Well, because I think there is something about being an only child. I think like I kind of God was my sibling. I yeah. felt like God, like my that's higher cute. Power, was like my friend. It was like my invisible friend.
Yeah, I used to pray to be the only child.
I love
how guys.
Different we like.
Yeah.
How different we grew up, but yeah. how similar we
exactly.
ended up being.
We that's both why, ended up here,
that's
right?
That's why I love it. Yeah. So I also really got like I got a lot of that spiritual feeling from when I did art. Like mm-hmm. when I would like stay at home on a Friday before I started doing drugs and, you know, drinking. Mm-hmm. But in retrospect, the partying was like a creative outlet for me. It was like a way, it was performance in a way. It was like this very dramatic, you know, like I'm depressed. I'm a teenager. Like, you know, I watched a lot of the OC. I was like ready to go to Tijuana, like Marissa, and,
oh, Marissa.
You know, have my big dramatic moment. Mm-hmm. But there was no boy to pick me up out of the alley. So I had to, you know, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
R.I.P. Marissa Cooper.
Yeah,
we miss you.
We really miss you.
Actually, yeah, she annoyed me, but that's okay.
I loved her. I like that was.
I like Summer better.
I mean, Summer. It's like the difference between Blair and
I mean,
Serena.
It's yeah. Team Blair, but I really appreciate Serena. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Well, you kind of need both.
Yeah,
right,
I love them both, but for different reasons. But I'm like, if I had to pick, it's Blair.
Yeah. Yeah. Truth. Yeah, so I live with my aunt and uncle, drinking and using started getting destructive. And they sent me away to a boarding school, a private boarding school for troubled teens. And I stayed there for a year, and that's where I didn't have anything. I didn't have a phone, I didn't have the internet, mm-hmm. I didn't have a TV. I lived in a dorm room essentially with three other girls who I didn't know. Wow. Sharing a bathroom and wearing a uniform. And it was really scary. I was like, I wasn't warned that I was going there.
Just to back up a little
yeah.
bit, your aunt and uncle sent you? Obviously with your mom's permission,
with
right?
With my
it's
mom's
not,
permission.
Okay, like they didn't just
yeah, with my mom's
boot
permission.
You off.
But
okay.
she never saw the place before
wow.
she visited. She like, it was, they felt like they were in a very desperate situation.
Okay.
I think because I was just so different from every other one of my cousins, for example. And like, they were all boys and they were all like nerdy, mm-hmm. like, you know, like really obsessed with science and computers and like, you know, and I was just not.
Yeah.
I was completely the opposite, and I was a girl. So
yeah.
they were like terrified of me.
Like, what do we do?
Yeah. They were like, what do we do? Like, okay, I guess we'll send her to this place because they'll tell her that. They can deal with her there.
Yeah.
But of course that caused like even more problems for me. I did end up getting, I remember a very specific moment in the shower, like when I had been there for a couple of weeks. I was so out of it my first couple weeks there. I couldn't remember the name of the place like for the first 2 weeks. I was just like, I was so in shock that I had been sent to a place like that, because I felt like all I was doing was what people around me were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I was doing exactly what my friends were doing, you know, why was I here and they
right.
weren't. We had therapy every day. We had group therapy. We had individual therapy. We had therapy groups. We had feedback groups. We had this way too much therapy for a teenage
It sounds
girl.
Like a lot, actually, yeah. for anyone.
I feel like I developed even more issues being there. But what I definitely developed more of was my spirituality, because that was really, you know, when we got there, they gave us the book. Oh, my God. Why can't I think of the name of the book right now? Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay.
Do you know that book?
I don't.
We'll have to put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a concentration camp survivor. And they gave us this book when we first get there.
Great.
And it's literally about this man who's in a concentration camp and how he mentally, like, grooms himself in order to survive this situation.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, great, I'm in a concentration camp with all girls. Like, that's basically what they were saying. But that really, after I read that book, that really, you know, it's all about the self and, like, the relationship with the self and in the relationship with the higher power and finding purpose in the most dire situations and in the most uncomfortable situations. So I remember, like, after a couple weeks of being there and after having read this book, I was in the shower and I was like, okay, higher power, we're gonna fucking do this. I was like, you're gonna help me get the fuck out of this place. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get out was to go through the program and to, like, unless you turned 18 and you were allowed to check yourself out. But I still had a year until I turned 18, and I was like, okay, I can either sit here, like, sit on my ass and, like, not, like, you couldn't call your parents. You couldn't.
What?
Like, there was no, yeah. You had to go through the program in order to earn the privileges to be able to talk to your family.
That's insane.
It's very intense. And
but
I don't agree
kids.
With it.
No,
yeah,
you're kids.
We're, yeah. And a lot. And I was one of the older ones there. They didn't usually let you be there if you weren't older than 16, because they wanted to make sure you had at least 2 years to complete the program.
Wow.
But then some girls were there for like 3 years. Some girls were there. I ended up only being there for 14 months because I worked my fucking ass off. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't. That was also when I learned how I need to take care of number one. Because if I'm not taking care of number one, nobody else is.
Exactly.
And that's kind of a sad lesson to learn at such a young age. But I really think it prepared me for this industry that we're in.
Yeah.
And the town that I ended up moving into, you know, L.A., like, you do have to take care of yourself here. Lots of people move here and they, you know, they expect so much so quickly.
Yeah.
And when they don't get it, they like, you know, they have a big old pity party. And it's like, no, we're all here hustling for the dream and the dollar. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make you special.
Yeah.
You have to, you know.
Girl, let them know.
Yeah. You got to take care of yourself. You got to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, then nobody else will.
Yeah.
So I did that for 14 months. Definitely a huge experience, huge spiritual growth there.
Yeah.
I got out. I ended up going to Whittier College. And I was in AA for 4 years. Because that's where I got my spiritual, that's what filled me up spiritually. It is a lot like church.
Mm.
It's a lot like church, but with people who used to party really hard. And I was like really into that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, these people are real ass people. They're not just like, you know, pretending to be perfect.
Exactly.
And, which is a really big part of my family history. Just everybody just like wants to make everything look
the
good
facade,
on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and many families are like that.
Exactly. Like, so, and so many people are like
yeah.
that. Like, as long as it looks good on the outside, then it must be fine.
I mean, hello, social media.
Yeah. No, exactly.
We're
literally
in
the culture.
Yeah.
You asked me about my spiritual journey, and I literally told you my life story.
I mean, it's the
but
same
thing.
But I
mean, that's really,
that's what
it
your
is
spiritual
the same
journey
thing.
Is, yeah.
Like, I've always had, I remember being 5 years old and, like, having a conversation with my higher power. And I remember my higher power said something like, I don't know, it sent me something sent me this message that, like, I was going to die when I was 18. Not in like, I didn't feel, I wasn't scared of it though. Mm. It wasn't like a dying, like, you know.
Like a physical
dying. Right. It was like something was going to happen.
That makes sense.
And it's interesting because I ended up graduating that program when I was 18 and I went to California.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed my entire life to be in California. And even without even having been there, I just like knew I just wanted to be here. And since doing all this like spiritual research and like, you know, trying all sorts of different things and just not being afraid, I've realized that California is like the most spiritual place.
Yeah.
Did you know there's like amethyst running all throughout the Topanga Canyons?
Oh, let's go mining.
I know, right? No, I know. But that's what just kidding, like, guys. So many hippies who alone. Live there.
Yeah.
And I heard somewhere that like dark witches hang out in New York and the light witches hang out in California.
I believe
like,
it.
That's literally like
I've been to New York. Yeah. I believe it.
But it's interesting. Yeah. I definitely feel very grateful to be in such a spiritually open place.
Yeah, we kind of start the trends when it comes to wellness, you know, as far as Western culture. Because obviously we turn to Eastern philosophy and culture a lot for the things that, you know, yoga and meditating and all those things. But California is usually people look to us first.
I know. And how did you, like, you grew up here. How was your, tell me about your spiritual experience, girl. Like, what, I mean, I'm like so obsessed with your entire family.
My family.
Keeping up with the Gokondes.
You can have them all.
I'm still, I'm so like, I, you know, we, my significant other is a reality TV producer and I was literally just talking to him. I was like, we really need to do a Keeping Up with the Gokondes. I feel like it would do really well.
You're not the first person to say that. Like,
but I don't know. Like, would your family be down for that?
We'd be down. My parents would not. And the reason my mom would be, let's clear that up. My mom would do it. Because we had a family blog that we were doing and we'd do YouTube videos and I'm like, Dad, you know, Mom, my dad's like, absolutely not. And we're like, oh, but it'll be fun. He's like, no. My dad's not the one. I was like, I used to tell him when I was younger, I'm gonna be an actor. I'm like, well, what if Oprah wants to interview me and wants to interview my family? And my mom's like, of course I do. And my dad's like, no. Like, there's no one that would get him to sit there and just open up. He's just not. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's different now. I haven't asked him in the last few years. But a reality show, I'm going to say no for him.
Okay.
But
no
maybe
for
Oprah.
Now.
No for now. Maybe Super Soul Sessions with Oprah. I'll get him. Maybe we'll get him here. That's my goal. I'm manifesting my dad in the studio.
I love that.
But I mean, truthfully, my spiritual journey started in the womb.
Yeah.
In the sense that my mom, she had a lot of miscarriages before she had me. Mm-hmm. And so when she was pregnant with me, my dad, it's called Jore. It's almost, I feel like the best way to describe it, it's almost like Reiki.
Yeah.
It's about light coming through you. And so he would give my mom Jore while I was in the womb. And so when I was born on a Sunday, because my mom works to remind me, at 10 a.m. on the dot. And that's when Jory...
So prompt.
Right? So prompt. But that's when Jory... when the... what am I saying? That's when the ceremony would begin. Like, so the service is what I'm looking for. My God, Diva. So...
So you were like ready.
Alrighty. And then my name Diva, my real name is Divine or Divine in English. Don't ever call me that. But it means God or coming from God.
Yes.
So they just thought I was a gift from God because they weren't expecting. My mom just never thought she'd actually be a mom. So there's that.
God.
And when I was like three and a half, we moved to the States because my dad was very much, he just was a big picture man and he just thought he had a really good job as an engineer, we had a nice home. Like I was very well to do and all that, but he just thought there's just more than like this life that we have here. And he was like, America, because people are more open-minded and, you know, just the American dream. He just loved that. So we uprooted to straight to California, straight to Los Angeles, and my dad had to basically start over. And that's why he's one of my heroes, because he gave up everything, you know. And my mom too. And I think about that, I'm so close to my family, that my mom hasn't seen some of her siblings for like 30 years.
Yeah.
I can't go a day without talking to one of my siblings. You know what I mean? Like, so I really appreciate the things that my parents have given up, like most immigrants' children.
Right.
You know, so when I wanted, I always made sure that I was responsible, pragmatic, and did everything my parents, I was like a goody two shoe, shocker. Always, you know, because I didn't want to disappoint my parents, because even as a child, I just knew that they did so much for me. And my father always instilled just, you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be a garbage man. He's like, okay, then be the best garbage man that you want. Like, he truthfully meant that. So I always had this understanding that I can do whatever I want in this life. And my mom pushed more for also having fun. And both of my parents are spiritual in different ways. You know, I grew up Catholic light in the sense that we would go to Catholic church.
Catholic light.
Right? Like most people.
Diet
and then
Catholic.
Diet Catholic. And then it kind of phased out. But, you know, Christmas, you always say Easter, those services. And my dad was more like, kind of like your parents, find your own way, your own religion. I ended up choosing Catholicism later on, mostly because of my grandparents. We were at my cousin's christening and they kind of cordoned me like, so when are you going to be Catholic? And I'm like, oh, because I was never baptized or anything. I would just go to church. Yeah. And so I ended up doing that later in my life. But going back when we were younger, we lived in Inglewood, which is like so hip now. It was not that hip back then. It wasn't like dangerous, but it was just like whatever. And my dad, someone told him like basically your daughter is too smart to be in the schooling that, because I went to a really good elementary school and whatever, but for middle school, they're like, the middle school is like, it's not for her. Like, you need to find somewhere else for her to go. He's like, okay. So I ended up going to private school. And let me just tell you something. I'd have to go and interview to be like 11 years old and have to prove yourself to these strangers. It was so weird. You're in
That's
competition.
So weird.
But it's kind of like you were saying, it kind of prepped me for being an actor, being in a waiting room. You look around to see the competition and what does she have that I don't, you know, I don't really do that. But you know what I mean? Like, it's set up that way. But I just went in and was myself and I
you
got into
to
a
just
school.
Be confident, like savagely
it's
confident.
It's weird though, because it's like, I'm thinking about that now. I didn't think about it at 11. I just was like, they just asked me questions and okay, do this math problem kind of thing and whatever. So, but the school was a Christian school. So it was Baptist. So it was a lot of God, but it was normal to me because I grew up in a home where we talked about God, but it wasn't like beaten down our throats. Like, okay, and like pray and do this. But it was just, God was just always a part of our lives. But I do remember being like 8 years old and this guy in my class was late all the time. And the teacher made a comment like, oh, you're going to be late to your own funeral. And I went, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, wait, funeral? I was like, death. You know, it was like the first time in my life I like was like, death? Me? So then I started having like a weird thing with just my being. I was like, who am I? Why am I here? But I was eight. But I was like, mom, like death. And so she'd have me just read the Bible, just kind of comfort me. And then throughout my life, like death would kind of like not plague me, but just the thought of it, I kind of put it away. And I remember I used to get like, oh my God, my parents are going to die and all these things. So my mom would leave the room and I'd be like, bye, mom. She's like, diva. You can't do this every time I leave the room.
Oh my God.
She's like, we have to talk. You know what I mean? So she sat me down and she's just like, you're here. This is your body. You have a soul. She's like, this body's going to die. Okay. Your soul will live on. You know, she kind of explained to me heaven, all these things. And I finally was like, you know, and then between that and going to a Christian school and then we moved to Santa Clarita when I was like 14. So I only went to private school for like 2 years. Cause there was four of us. My parents were like, we could just move to a better school district, which they did. So that's just like the younger, but yeah, my parents are just always, my dad would make me, not like he forced me, but he would just ask you questions about what is, you know, like your spirit say, when you look in the mirror, what do you say to yourself? What do you think?
And I'm
like,
that.
Which, yeah, I appreciate it now, but when you're like 12, you're just like, can I just watch TV? Like, you know what I mean? It just, he picks like, even now he picks like the most random moments to get deep. And I'm like, can we just like chill for a second?
That's so funny.
But obviously the stuff has shaped me and it's important. It's the way I move in life. Because both my parents were raised Catholic. My mom went to a Catholic school with nuns. And so they're like,
so legit.
Yeah. So it's like Catholicism is a foundation, but they don't push it because it's just, it can be aggressive if you can imagine. But I love
Any religion can be aggressive.
Yeah. It's just
if
like
it's
we've seen it.
Taken too far.
Exactly. No, that's a
like,
really good point.
Just use it to be. My mom always says, I don't care what you believe in. As long as it makes you a good person and you're nice to people, do it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, about being nice. When I grew up, not a lot of people were nice to me. A lot of the kids just, I knew I was different in the neighborhood like for so many reasons. But I was always like, why can't people just be nice? And I'm still like that now. I'm like, just be nice to people. And it's really crazy how people are like, you're so nice. You're so this. I'm like, well, thank you. And then I'm like, gosh, like not enough of us are nice that we have to point it out in other people.
Right.
That always makes me just a little, I don't know, upset. Yeah. You know, I'm like, just if we were all just a little nicer to each other, but I guess that's for a different episode. But yeah, so I did, I've done Joe Wright. And the thing is, too, my dad would let me explore with different religions. So I've been to a Buddhist temple, Joray, obviously, Catholic Church, Kabbalah. I got really into it because, you know, Madonna.
Yeah.
So he took me to some center in Beverly Hills. It was so bougie. And my dad kind of looked like, okay, this is what she wants. But he's open to those things too. He reads a lot and just learning. And even now, he'll like, this is a prayer I want you to do. This, do this for your, you know. And he was always like, protect, you know. When we were younger, we weren't allowed to watch rated R movies. My parents were really like, if you're not 17, they weren't, didn't mess around. And music, my parents would listen to music if it had the explicit thing on it first, because my dad's like, you're just taking that in your subconscious. But as a kid, you don't know that. But now I realize that, because I don't watch the news.
Yeah,
I know what's happening, but I stopped watching the news a long time ago. I don't watch violent TV shows or things, because I'm like, that really does get imprints your subconscious.
It does.
We don't understand that. And so, I mean, my dad's a real one. The funny thing is, he's an accountant. He's not hippy dippy, you know, California. Yeah. He's like, he's, I call him, like, I always joke that he was raised by a Nazi, only because I won't get into too much of his past, but he was raised by his aunt and her husband, and he was like this white European, very strict, like by the book. So that's how my dad is, and everything is strict. And he's kind of, if we weren't in America, we would be German. So that's funny that we have
so
that
funny
connection.
Oh my God.
But he's very like pragmatic and this and that and cerebral. And like, he's taught himself seven languages. So you wouldn't expect that he also has this deep rooted spiritual side. So I think that's kind of, I feel like I come off that way too. I'm like, I think people would get like, I believe in something, but I don't think they're like, she carries crystals and, you know, all the woo-woo things.
High maintenance hippie.
But I love that stuff, because all paths lead to God. So I feel like, why don't we just choose something fun? And I don't know, it gets me excited. That's why I love Catholicism too.
Yeah.
Is that the mysticism of it all, the meditations, the prayers, the Hail Mary. I just love the chant. It's just, it connects to me. And for me, it's a traditional thing. My family, you know, so it's like a tradition that I can keep.
I love tradition.
Me too.
I love ritual and tradition. It makes me feel so safe.
Yeah. What are your rituals? Do you have a morning ritual? Or are you playing around with one right now?
We were talking about that. Like, oh, let's talk about our morning rituals. And I was like, oh, damn. I like really don't have any.
Yeah.
Just because, maybe I do. I just don't even think of it as a ritual, because I do it all the time. I definitely love an iced cold brew with coconut milk and a stevia. Mm. I definitely need one
what
of those
size?
Every day. Grande.
Yeah, grande.
Right now. Ariana Grande. that's what I need. I definitely always want a coffee. I chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo at least 5 minutes in the morning.
That's a ritual.
It is amazing. It is. I go in and out of it. It is hard for me. It's easy for me to go get my Starbucks. It's harder for me to chant in the morning. So like if I wake up too late, I don't chant. And then I feel it. You know, it's like meditation. It's like if you miss it, you feel it.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, as long as Diva has known me, I've been like trying to become a person to get up earlier so that I can have a morning situation. And it's just really hard for me. It's always just been really hard for me to wake up in the morning. What about you? You have so many. I feel like she's always like, okay, I had my lemon water and I did this and I did that. And then and I'm like, oh my God. I have to get up at 6 a.m. just to like do all my things before 10 a.m.
I'm up at 7 now. I used to be up at 6.
Yeah.
I just kind of do what Jay was saying, and I just do
what
I
feel. Totally.
But I try to keep some things consistent. A meditation, it doesn't have to be the same one, because that's the thing too. I get bored very easily. So if I have to do the same meditation every single day, it won't happen.
Well, it's also like working out. If you do the same workout every single day for like 10 years, you're not going to build any more muscle. You're not going to do. Yeah. You have to like continually, for me at least, I need to keep tricking myself and my body and my
variety is the spice of life, guys.
Even my shampoo, you know,
no, like, seriously,
you gotta mix it up your shampoo. Cause otherwise
you actually are supposed to, your hair gets used to it. That's a fact. But on the most perfect mornings back in the day, I'd be up like at 5:30, did it at 6 a.m. yoga class, then have some tea, you know, like that whole thing. I'm just not there anymore. I'm up at 7.
Or there right now. You're just not there right now.
And I don't really necessarily want to be back there.
Right.
If I'm being honest, I don't really need to be back there. I get up at 7. Ideally, I'll meditate and then journal. And then do some stretches. There are, and I will show you some, and maybe I'll link it too in the show notes. It's just, especially women, we hold so much stress in our hips.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I found this routine that you can do in bed. So that's what the, yeah, you can do it in
give
bed.
Me that
I will
routine.
Give that to you. It's amazing. Journaling oh is God. Like on and off, not consistent, I'll be honest. Meditating's a must. And then I have to have an Earl Grey latte. Like that's yes. just my normalcy. No matter where I am, if I'm traveling, like I need my Earl Grey.
I love that.
I need that. And then just start the day, depending on, you know, if we have to be up early recording or
right.
we have nothing going on. Because some days I have off, but I've been better about implementing something that's stimulating to my mind. So that's why I've gotten a lot into art history again and
yes.
going to museums.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Like what inspired that?
Do you know what's so
what
funny?
What?
I realized this after the fact. I was beating myself up, shocker, because the Glam and Grounded, the chakra mentorship thing that I'm in, we focus on different chakras. Sacral is like creative, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I have to stay another month. I'm not being creative. I'm not feeling it. You know, we've talked about this in yeah. another episode. And I realized, I'm like, but I've been more inspired to do things. I'm like, but hello, like ding, ding, ding. It finally clicked to me like last week. But I was just like, I want to stimulate my brain. And truthfully, I was listening to this podcast about the royals. We talk about Meghan Markle and like what her day looks like. She's a patron of the theater, of the arts and this. I'm like, that must be nice to just have those kind of patronages. And I'm like, I could do that. I don't have to be like a duchess to, yeah. you know, go to the theater.
Totally.
And then one of my, when I was Uber driving, because I stopped that, by the way. But when
okay.
I was doing it, I dropped some woman off. She was going to the opera.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that must be so nice. And I picked up someone who was leaving an art gallery. And I, you know what I mean? These things just
yes.
started kind of, and I'm like, this can be me because I love classical music and I
totally.
Love this. And
oh,
I just kind of abandoned
it. You're such a cultured woman.
My sister calls me Frasier, especially after
oh,
this podcast, because I learned
so
how to
funny.
Play chess too. She's like, are you drinking sherry? I'm like, no, but I've had it. I was like, not yet. We're getting there. Frasier Crane. I don't know. I've always loved art and I feel like I wasn't able to really fully get into it again. Just like being a, you know, being an immigrant myself and having your parents leave everything. You come here. It's like, I'm going to be an actor.
Right.
I mean? It's
right.
like, you're going to, you know, it's like doctor, lawyer. My mom was like, you're going to be a lawyer, right? You like to talk. You're going to, but I wanted to be a fashion designer and a photographer, an actor, and then a lawyer. Like I threw that in there just so my parents.
Right.
But they let
well,
me.
Well, Kim Kardashian. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. But she inspired me too. I'm like,
yeah.
so I was thinking about going back to school. And so I'm looking into that a little bit. So it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's just my sacral chakra is on fire.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying
I
right
love
now.
It.
So I'm
I
like,
love
what
it.
Can I create? And I know you're creating your jewelry. Like it's like the same
yeah.
time I was getting back into art and history and all this stuff and literature, and then you started getting back in the line.
Yeah,
that's
getting back into the
always
jewelry.
Lined up. Yeah, like
I
so many fun pieces. I love the bees.
Oh, I'm glad.
I was actually. It's so funny. Fun. Do you have Disney Plus yet?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
I have it for a year free and I got so
oh
excited.
God.
If you have
Verizon yes.
Unlimited plan, guys, you get Disney Plus free for a year. Fun plug.
Did you watch the Bee movie?
I didn't watch the Bee, but I was watching Rescue Rangers. I went
oh,
retro, super
yes.
retro. And it was like, the episode was about bees.
Oh
and I just thought
God.
Of you. I'm like, great. And then when I went to...
Bees are so magical.
They are.
And they're a matriarchal society.
Yeah. So it's about the queen bee. She lost her hive and she wanted them back. It was like this whole thing.
Oh
but then
God.
Also when I went to the Getty Villa yesterday in the gift shop. Well, a lot of the displays and the exhibits, they had jewelry.
Yeah.
So important to history
so,
and
yeah.
culture. And even in their gift shop, the jewelry they had, I'm like, oh my God, great. I was like texting Grace. I'm like, you have to
yes.
look at this.
Oh my God, that made me so happy
yeah,
that you thought
it.
Of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what's interesting? The jewelry is really, it's funny about jewelry and me because it's interesting that my life has turned into kind of how my life was when I was younger during the summer. Summer camp was my favorite part of the year. I would go to summer camp and I would just do arts and crafts for like 6 weeks. And then I got really into theater. So I would go to the same summer camp, but I would do the theater program. And so I would just do theater for 6 weeks.
That's so nice. My
and
dad
now,
would make me do math during the summers,
oh
but you
God.
Continue with your story.
No, dad, math.
Like legit. Legit made us do math.
But also,
and
like,
book reports.
You grew up in Southern California. I grew up in a place where you could not go outside, like, for most of the year. So I'm sure my mom was like, okay, these are the months that are
yeah.
safe for going outside. So you better be outside. Yeah. So now I do jewelry and I act. It's funny.
It's amazing. And I wear jewelry and I act. I mean, you guys.
I know.
Actually, I barely wear jewelry. When I was younger, my mom used to make us wear so much jewelry. So yeah. I feel like now. And with acting, I feel like they tell us not to wear, you know,
yeah, they
jewelry.
They tell you not to wear distracting. I remember one
time. So I stopped.
I still make them, but they're not as elaborate. I used to make these really elaborate feather earrings, but I would only wear one of them. Mm-hmm. I just liked that look.
So
I liked
chic.
The look of only wearing one. And I remember I was like on the phone. I was in like Coffee Bean. I was on my way to an audition. And this woman just out of nowhere was like, I heard you were going to an audition. Like, sorry for eavesdropping, mm-hmm. but I heard you were going to an audition. I would take your earring out because it's distracting.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I remember being like, oh my God, damn. And that was like the first time. It must have been like my first summer in LA. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, I kind of thought it would make me stick out. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, no, it's just distracting.
The only time I wear jewelry is when it's for holiday commercials. I have like these decorative necklaces. So I'm like, well, if I'm supposed to be dressed like a holiday, I have to have something. So that's usually my thing. But yeah,
something.
So now I'm used to not wearing jewelry and I'm trying to get back into it slowly.
And I love to make jewelry, but I don't necessarily love to wear it, mm-hmm. which is interesting. But I've been trying to wear more jewelry or make more jewelry that I would wear.
Yeah.
And like, why do I like to wear jewelry?
Yeah. But what's great about your jewelry too is that it connects to you spiritually because
exactly.
of the type of jewelry that you make.
Exactly.
It's not just earrings for fun, you know? Like you
use
crystals.
Yeah, no, I always, and that's what I realize is I'm like, I only wear jewelry when it means something. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to make more jewelry that means something. I've had high maintenance hippie since 2011. But it's changed like so much. And now I have these spirit animal necklaces. I have a bumblebee.
I love the bee. You guys have to check it out.
Yes. The bumblebee is gold and it has a pearl as the body. It's
you
very
guys,
high maintenance hippie.
So
and it
chic.
Comes with a little card that like tells you about the bumblebee. And I love that because I love just like little things I can wear that remind me of my spirituality and my inner strength. And like, it's sort of like a friend, you know, it's like this little like friend you can have with you. Like I always wear my amethyst mm-hmm. necklace right now. These are still like the crystal necklaces or the OGs of high maintenance hippie. And I will forever wear this necklace. And yeah, it's like a little, I guess I'll do a little like pitch situation. So high maintenance hippie started, you know, it's funny, the origin of high maintenance hippie. Mm. I was dating this guy who had blonde dreads and he would have to get his dreads done at a salon.
Dear Lord.
And he got them highlighted at a salon.
Dear Lord.
And my friends and I were like, what a high maintenance hippie. And like, because he was such a like... He was like a Hollywood hippie. He was like a Burning Man guy,
it's,
you know?
You guys, I cannot.
But
God bless you.
But then I was like, oh my God, this high maintenance hippie thing kind of fits into every aspect of my life. And then I realized that everyone is a high maintenance hippie because we're all souls inside of these meat suits just trying to figure out this human thing.
So that's what I love when you told me that was your brand, because for me, when I thought of hippies, I'm like, I'm just, no.
Yeah.
I'm Fraser Crane. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to deal with a hippie, but I'm also very spiritual.
Yeah.
And
you have to be spiritual and grounded in order to, like,
there's just certain people, you know, you hear
life.
About, they don't bathe and ashrams and things. I'm like,
well,
this
isn't
me. That's
the other thing,
me.
Is
I'm
that
like,
high maintenance people, quote unquote, have a lot of stereotypes and stigmas attached
for
to them.
Sure.
And are judged a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, high maintenance is a very judgmental word. Hippie is also kind of a judgmental word.
It's divisive,
it's very divisive. And you put them together, it's like all of a sudden you have them together and you're building the bridge between the two.
Yeah, it neutralizes both. No, you're totally right. I'm
totally.
I'm like, I am a high maintenance hippie.
Yeah. And
I never call myself a hippie.
And I haven't done a great job of explaining that, like what it really means. Because I think some people are off put by it. They like don't, you know, they're like, I'm not high maintenance. Like, I'm not a hippie. Whatever. And I'm like, well, if you really understood, it kind of just comes down to the bottom line of like, we're all the same.
Yeah.
And I try to do it. I try to mix the dark and the light. So I have like these crystal necklaces with little skulls on them just to like remind us that nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're human. Like, it's really just like being a human is hard.
Apparently.
And it's like, it's nice to have those reminders of like, we're all in it together.
We are. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
I push that agenda like none other. we're all connected. Yeah. It's all one huge consciousness. And once we realize that, we would treat each other so differently, so totally. Much better. And like when those people hurt, those people, quote unquote, you're actually hurting as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I know, which is why, and you know, it's kind of poignant, not to like get too heavy, mm-hmm. but what happened this week.
Yeah.
With, and you know, what's been happening with these shootings, like yeah. I have it, and I'm not, this is not a promotion for my necklace, but I have a necklace called Essential Armor. That's a bullet-shaped pendant with essential oil inside. Mm-hmm. And it comes with a little card sort of explaining, like, what, you know, what the oil does for you healing-wise, but then also what the bullet signifies. And I wanted to do that because, and when I made this necklace, like, a few years ago, and it wasn't well-received, and I'm hoping that people might be a little more ready now. What it's supposed to symbolize is that, you know, it was inspired specifically by what happened in Orlando. That happened on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
And I consider myself a gay ally.
I always say I'm a gay man in a woman's body.
I am. I am a gay man in a woman's body. And it just hit me so much harder than all the other shootings. And I mm-hmm. felt like I needed to do something.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. I like, you know, what do you do? Like, you don't, everybody's like, stop praying, it's not working. But like, when you pray, you're really just taking a moment to try to shift your perspective and open yourself up to things you can do to try to help the situation. And I was like, I'm an artist. What can I do as an artist?
Yeah.
And I wanted to make this essential armor just to share with, I give 10% to the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I wanted it to be like a symbol of we're not afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and also we're not going to get rid of guns. So we have to accept them and learn how to be in possession of them.
Yeah.
If we're going to outlive them.
Well, I love what you said about thoughts and prayers, because I actually went on a mini rant. It wasn't really a rant. It was just, I was just talking about being messy and vulnerable.
Yeah.
I just went on and spoke my truth, I guess. This week's shooting happened in my hometown. And I woke up that morning to a group family text, and my sister's just like, we're on lockdown. It wasn't at her school or my brother's school. My brother's a TA at a different school, but he's still in the district. So they just locked down all the schools. But we're getting texts, and some of her students had friends or people they knew at Saugus. And the other day, Asha went to a district meeting with all the teachers, and the Saugus teachers went to speak. And I'm not going to tell you the stories, but you can just imagine how chilling they were. And to me, it's deeper than guns, personally.
Yeah, oh, it's
you know what I mean?
It's healing.
We'll find
it's
other ways to hurt her. If we got rid of guns, we'll find other ways to hurt ourselves.
Exactly.
So, but that being said, my whole thing is like, thoughts and prayers aren't enough. I'm not saying don't do it, but my whole point was, like you said, prayer is a time where I'm like, you're co-creating with God.
Right.
That's what prayer is. And especially when you need guidance for something. So you got the information to start a jewelry or start this particular line in your jewelry line. Those are things that we need to be doing. Like, that's some type of action.
Yeah.
You know
and
what I mean?
It's a message.
It's a message. Like, that's something. That's an action. I'm like, I'm just looking for thoughts and prayers and what else? Like, there has to be something to follow that. And the people that stop just at thoughts and prayers, I'm kind of like over it. I'm like, you know, either, because to me, it's like, if that's all you're bringing to the table, then you're basically just saying you're fine with the way it is. Well, too bad, so sad. You know
or
what I
like
mean?
It's fine until something happens to you or one of your
And why should
members.
It? But it is happening to you. Happening to us, humankind.
Exactly. Like, and I always, whenever one of these happen, I always, and this might sound really controversial, but I get so sad for the person who executed the act, because I know that they are the ones like that were hurting originally, which is why they went out and tried to hurt other people.
Because of what level do you have to be in your mind to be so hurt that you have to inflict that much pain
yourself.
On other people?
We have
That's
to
what
take
I'm saying.
Responsibility.
It's deeper than, and he's a kid. It's a kid that did it. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, shot up your friends, you know?
I know.
It's like, I would never think of that in high school.
So that's what,
it's
so
crazy.
I hope that this essential armor brings some healing, and it's, you know, it's really just a message of like, you gotta heal yourself before you can heal others.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start healing yourself, like, that you are healing other people by healing yourself. and, you know, just like take care of each other.
Yeah. That's my whole thing too. Like, just take care of yourself, take care of each other. And that's what I'm learning on this journey. I mean, it's just life. We talk about your spiritual journey. Like, it's just our lives basically.
Yeah.
Is that we're just more strong. We're stronger as a collective. So I think of things like more of the collective, and
we're
also
stronger together.
I'm the eldest child. So it's never just been about me. You know what I mean? And it could never be. And my mom always would tell me, like, if something happened, basically like a party of five situation, I always knew like I'd have to step up and be like the mom. You know what I mean? And so I feel like I have to step up for just wherever I am in any situation. Right. I'm like, okay, how does this better everyone? And so that's just
diva for president.
Diva for president. Could you imagine? Oh my God.
Oh my God. Diva with grace for president.
Diva with grace for president. You guys, it's happening. You heard it here first. Yes. We announced it. Oh my gosh. Well, I think this is a good little chat. I hope you guys learn a little bit more about us, and we'll do more of these if you'd like, or not do them if you don't.
Yeah.
No, actually, we'll do
it. If
what
you hated it, let us know.
Oh, like, now.
We're totally open.
Keep it positive. You can email grace at. I'm just kidding. It's a team effort. All right, guys, until the next time.
Yeah.
Bye.